Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles, and this is the first show I will be doing as a 35-year-old. I did have some birthday wishes. My birthday was on Thursday. I had fun. Well, it was a busy one because I was doing stuff mostly for my soap business. And if you'd like information, the email for my soap business is icaga2004@gmail.com. And I also had my writing group, and they gave me a gift. It was so cute. It was a soap in a container that looked like a book. And it was like, aw, y'all, that was so sweet. It meant a lot. And good clients. And that will be the next episode of my show. But I know you guys did not call in to listen to it, and I really thank you guys for listening. Funny thing is, I dialed in early, and I realized it's not completely just me. After 4 years of doing this show, I was like, oh my God, that was one time it wasn't me, and I did it correctly. And yeah, so I was like, I'm adulting by being more responsible with my show, so I'm happy about that. And for those who don't know or are not in the news, or Billy Graham died, and living in Charlotte is a big deal. And then it's also CIAA weekend, so you have that influx of people mourning Billy Graham and also basketball fans. Yesterday was the last day of CIAA, and today was the broadcast funeral of Billy Graham. And I was like, I guess because it was like a shock because he was such a part, like, for everybody. But in my case, I was like, he was 99. I'm not saying death is not sad. I think a death is sad, but sometimes it wasn't random. I was even talking to one of my friends from Houston about Billy Graham dying, and it was like, he started planning his funeral at 89. It's like, okay, so, you know, you celebrate. He had a long life, and now he's in a better place according to his belief. I believe in separation of church and state. You can be religious and also have that belief, and you can be good and also be atheist. And I think an atheist would probably be a better person than some Pharisee Christians. Yeah, I threw shade. I grew up in Georgia and went to a Baptist preschool and kindergarten and had a cousin who was a preacher. Again, I am not anti-religion. It's the hypocrisy that I don't like in religion, more so than religion. Religion is like Gandhi, even though Gandhi, we all know how Gandhi viewed black people. But it's like, okay, Christ was great, but some of y'all Christian, yeah, but every religion has them. I'm not just picking on Christian. Everybody knows some bad apple in some good religions. So I'm not saying Billy Graham is one. He was, you know, he made his difference and inspired people, and he lived a long life. But you guys are probably not listening to my show about Billy Graham. This episode is about something that a lot of people don't like, and they do consider a religion: money. Even in the Bible, they say the love of money is bad. What? And people do bad stuff to get money for a lot of other reasons, too. Let's say money is like water. You need it. To say you hate money is, I hate water. Nobody says that. You might not like drinking water, but you need it. You might not like, you may hate broccoli, but you need your vegetables. You may not like making money, but you got bills. Everybody has some bill in some way, shape, or form. Critical thinking experiment in college was actually, name one thing that does not cost money. And I know some people will be like, emotions are free. Yeah, but you're going to get negative emotions when you're stressed out about not having money or stressed out about having too much. Oh, we can go for a walk in the park. Don't you have to wear shoes? We can go barefoot. Yeah, but won't you get bug bites? And I have had my share of bug bites on my feet, which was very, I know, TMI. But anyway, won't you need bug spray if you're going to walk along the, even if it's natural bug spray, you're going to need that. Or if I, no, I'll make it. Okay, so you're going to have to still buy the ingredients to make it. Let's have a picnic. The food costs money. And I know that sounds like such a downer, but it's true. And there were people, but there are some bad people with money. Okay, and there's some bad people that are broke. Let's not act like money is the reason. Money is the zero behind a number. And I'm not sure if some people understand, but it's like it magnifies what you already are. If you were a jerk when you were broke, the money makes you broke. That's not what I meant to say. Money makes you broke. The money brings it out more. You're going to be an egomaniac anyway. It's not the money's fault. The money is just, it enhances because you can indulge in it. You can indulge in being loudmouth because people will tolerate what you have to say because you have the money. If you were loudmouth and broke, people would think of you as the crazy guy on MLK, pre-gentrified MLK. Okay, either MLK, the gentrified or the not, you would be the crazy broke guy complaining. And you probably still have to buy a pedestal so people could pay listen to you and you could be above people. The pedestal is different. It's still a pedestal. So I will tell you the history of how I came up with this episode. I was talking to an essential oil seller, and we got on the subject of money. It wasn't because I had placed an order with her, and I think her oils are very good, but she was sending me some samples of her oil, and I did use them, and I did quite enjoy them. And I've also bought some oil that I've also quite enjoyed. But we got on the subject of how she's met a lot of people in her business who have a lot of money and are good. And she was like, it's a religious-based organization, and, you know, they do good with it. And I was like, well, yeah. And I know that sounds very millennial to say, well, of course. But they had the money to do good. And it really made me think of a real-life infomercial kind of thing I went to. It was a networking event that seemed like an infomercial because that's basically what it was. I mean, I made some connections, and I ran into some people I knew, but it was free. But it was still, because it was free, in that case, it was an infomercial to basically go to an event that was money. But it brought up the concept of money. How one of the speakers who was trying to promote his own stuff was like, I make money doing this. It's not my whole thing. But with that, this money, I can do what I want. And what he wanted to do was pay for basketball camps for kids. I know it sounds like, oh my God, I thought he was going to like take over the world like Killmonger. No, it was, you know, so kids could afford uniforms. And it's like, oh, okay, you have the money to do that. You don't have to stress when you have a healthy level and a healthy relationship with money. You don't have to stress because there are some billionaires. I mean, really look at the aviator. Howard Hughes was a billionaire in the 70s. And again, I'm not one saying a billionaire in the 70s. With the wonderful world of inflation, the $1 billion in 1970 was more than $1 billion now. Either way, a billion is still a lot, but it had more earning power than the now. It makes more sense when you actually look at the cost of living, and that's a whole another topic another day. Howard Hughes, richest man in the world, you know, revolutionized aviation, but he was still a tragic individual, and you would think, you have all this money, I would be like, you have $10 billion. I'm just going to throw out what I think the current value of that would be. You have $10 billion. Why aren't you happy? In his case, he wasn't. He was so miserable. He died broke with nails going out to the point where the FBI had to, like, analyze his teeth to figure out, oh, yeah, this isn't some homeless hobo. This is billionaire Howard Hughes. And I'm not over-exaggerating. You can look up how he died. He died looking like a whole homeless guy with, like, horribly long nails and stuff. And they had to do, like, FBI had to be involved. Anyway, he was an unhappy individual with all that money. It wasn't the money's fault. You know, you were being a playboy. What did you expect? I mean, you can't say, I want to meet a nice girl, but you're going to a nightclub. You didn't meet him at the book club, so you got disillusioned. How is that money's fault? Wanted to, could have gave it away years before going off the rails. And on the other hand, there are some happy broke. I mean, and I guess in $10 billion case, almost everybody's broke, even Oprah's broke. But you don't, you just have to have enough so you can be there. And I know I'm making there sound like some kind of, oh my gosh, cosmic place. But by there, I mean emotionally there for your family, emotionally there for yourself. I know that that's really shocking. You know, I've listened to and actually bought one of Jensen Cheryl's Bad A series because this is a G-rated show for general audience, so I can't really say the full name, but it's the You Are Blame It Blank, and she has a You Are Blame It Blank at making money. And one of the things was when you're broke, you're thinking about money all the time because you're stressed about it. Same thing as if you have too much or want to make more, but that's, I'll get to that later. But let's say you're broke and you're at a cookout. That's the example she gave. So you're thinking about how do I ask people for money without seeming dampening their mood and they're stressed and oh my God, and you're thinking about all these bills to the point where you can't be at this event enjoying, assuming everybody at that cookout and not the proverbial black people cookout, but the family reunion cookout kind of thing. You can't enjoy your uncle's joke, even if you've heard it a million times. You can't laugh with your friends. You can't even bring hot dog buns, and that emotional baggage ruins the experience, so you're not at the experience. Versus, on the other hand, you were financially stable, and you could be like, hey, I can, and not being a jerk, because we'll talk about that later, but you can be like, oh, okay, I'll bring this. I can laugh at Kayla's bad MC Hammer hairdo because she didn't know what she was doing, you know, in the good way, because you tease your family when they get a bad haircut if you're close to them. Or you can play with the baby and you can sit there with the baby instead of being like, oh my God, oh my God. Your mind is there along with your body. And that's a very good thing. So, again, since I touched on that, the bad people with money, I think it's more than the money. It's not the money's fault. You have a level of something money can't fix. And money can fix a lot of stuff. But if you are just emotionally healthy, yeah, you can go to therapy. You can go to great therapist. If you have like billions of dollars, you can hire every therapist for every hour of your day. And I even had this discussion with Surrogate Mom about billion versus million. If you spend $1,000 every day, you would be broke in less than 3 years. If you had $1 billion and you spend $1,000 every day, it would take you nearly 3,000 years. And there's a reason I brought that up. So if you had $10 billion, you can pay for a therapist every hour, every day for millennia. You can pay for a spiritual cleanse, but it's still not going to help because you can't help you. The money can't. It can give you the chance to help, but it can't fix that. That's something internally. That's the limit. Whatever is internally wrong with you, and I know this sounds like super spiritual, but that's what you have to fix yourself. No. It may take away emotional stress, but whatever's spiritually there, yeah, no. You got to work on that on your own. That is up to you. And oddly enough, if you don't, it will manifest down and destroy the money. I mean, look at how much money the Vanderbilts lost in such a, I guess, less than 100 years. I mean, 100 years is a long time, but in the history of human history, in the history of modern times, it's not. But if you were to look at Cornelius Vanderbilt's wealth when he died, with, again, going back to inflation, it would be the same as Jeff Bezos' value, which is $100 billion. If it takes 3,000 years, almost what, $1,000 a day to spend a billion, imagine how long it would take to spend $100 billion. But because his kids, much like Howard Hughes, were messed up and unhealthy with some kind of spiritual issue, by the time it got to Gloria Vanderbilt, she was telling her son, Anderson Cooper, yeah, you know that Vanderbilt money that everybody thinks is gone. Yeah, gone. Because they didn't know how. I mean, even if the stock market crash of the 20s, you got $100 billion or whatever that $1 billion was valued back then. I wasn't alive. My grandma was a kid in the South. Anyway, but whatever it was, you were so unhealthy that it destroyed you. I mean, her relationship with Gloria's relationship with her family was so screwed. They considered that at the time the trial of the century, and they were bringing up her mother's sexual orientation. The family was in disarray. That was not the money's fault. No. And again, I'm not saying money is this wonderful. It only cures so much. It's sort of, again, going back to water. Water, everybody needs it in your cells, blah, blah, blah. But too much water, if it's not balanced, it will kill you. And I'm not just talking about waterboarding, because everybody likes to bring up waterboarding, but your electrodes will get out of whack, and then your body will flood, and it's not cute, and it will kill you. Money's not like that, but if you don't know how to handle it, even if you only had, if you were already spiritually unhealthy, you could have infinitely less than Jeff Bezos and still self-destruct. And let's face it, everything less than $100 billion is infinitely less than Jeff Bezos. I don't have the time to count from 1 to $100 billion. And I think I'd get bored if I had to count it. I don't know how long it would take. Obviously more than maybe a year or whatever. But anyway, you're already unhealthy. And money just have a healthy relationship with it. It will not magically make your family, no. And if you have to have that kind of money to get people to love you, you need better people, because they're not loving you for money. You're paying people to love you because there's an emptiness looking for it. Maybe that was Michael Jackson's issue. I mean, and yeah, we know Joseph was harsh, but he was also and maybe this comes with age. And again, I'm not as old as Joe Jackson, but once you get older, you develop a perspective. If you were a black person who was born in 1920s Arkansas, there's a toughness you develop, especially because, let's face it, I'm like looking out the window right now. And back then, you know, I could look out the window and be like, oh, yeah, that was the tree family member XYZ was lynched on. I'm not trying to be cavalier or race, but he had a hard life, and he wanted to defend, and Michael used money and stuff to fix a void. He had all that money, and he ended up broke and ODing and dead. Howard Hughes had all that money, ended up looking like some homeless dude, and they had to use like fingerprints or dental records to be like, oh yeah, that's the guy, Howard Hughes. Why does he look so messy? He had issues. And even Mother Teresa's like, I'm going to be noble and save, but you're still going to have to ask people for money. Mother Teresa, and this was brought up with the central, Mother Teresa was always raising money. Nonprofits are always trying to raise money, because everybody feels like money is this dirty, horrible thing. Maybe that's why you don't have it. I mean, if somebody thinks I'm dirty and bad, why would I want to be around them? And I'm not sure if I should humanize money, but it's something to think about. How can you have this positive info if you have such a negative idea about it? That makes no sense. That's very schizophrenic. I love you, but I hate you. I think you're horrible. I'm going to name everything bad, and then I'm going to complain. Why aren't you here? If it was a person, if somebody treated you like that, you'd be like, you got issues, and if I continue to stay with you, that means I've got more issues than you. Deuces. You know, that's how you would be. And maybe that's why some people are broke, because they just have this, but then you complain. Why aren't you here? Almost sounds like a neurotic female. Why aren't you here? go away, come back. I think that was a song, a similar sentiment to one of Pink's songs. And I love Pink. She's one of my favorite artists. I wish she would perform at the Super Bowl. But, yeah. And money just is. Just have a healthy relationship with it and respect it for what it is. It is something, it, another word for money is currency. It flows, it ebbs, it flows. Appreciate it when it's there. Be thankful for it. Use it for good because it can be used for good, just like water. I know. I'm on my water. I've got water next to me and I'm a Pisces. So, water, you need it, you drink it, it's good. If you hold somebody down or you try to drown them, it's bad. So make sure to treat it like something which is what it has the potential to be. If you want to, you know, give to your favorite charity. At a, like some of my friends know, if I was like Jeff Bezos rich, I would spend some money on blue stocks because I like the color blue. I did not join the sorority that has that color, but I like the color blue. I've always liked the color blue. Well, not always, but for a while I've liked the color blue. Over a decade, I've liked the color blue. So I buy myself some blue stock, and I would give it away because what do you do with $100 billion? Well, there's only so much you can buy, you know, give it to charity. And pay for an orphanage that's not run like the person, woman from Annie. Pay for libraries. Pay for going back to nonprofits so they don't have to stress the people there and they can help, truly help the community. I mean, it is hard to help the community when you're broke. It's like the Maya Angelou quote about don't accept a jacket. I'm paraphrasing. Don't accept a jacket from a naked person. Like, yeah, you have the jacket. You have an extra one here. So you could even give away 90% of it, you still have $10 billion. You're not going to spend $10 billion unless you are just something is majorly wrong and you're trying to feel some kind of emptiness. It's like, no. Pray about it. You know, that faith without deeds is dead. Do the deeds involved in getting healthy and teach your kids to be healthy with it so they won't go crazy and live the life with the money. Enjoy. It's like, okay, I can do good. I can be here for my family. And I'm not using this to escape a bad relationship. Or to paraphrase Count Monte Cristo, don't let your strength become your weakness. True. You know, your strength might be making money, or your strength might be trying to overcome a tragic childhood, because some people do that. They're self-made. They'll work hard to get to that level, but then that strength will become a weakness, and they will implode on themselves. I think of my favorite musical hitman, Walter Yevikot, went to the pinnacles of success and did the Sony buyout of CBS in the late 80s, and he had issues, and those issues drove him to be successful, but ultimately he lost his job at Sony. I mean, he bounced back and he's doing well and he's in a comfortable place now. But they called the day he got fired from Sony after Sony bought out CBS the Labor Day Massacre. Yeah, when the day you get fired is called a massacre. That was not money's fault. That was your strength became your weakness and now you are imploding. Do not implode on the money. And you do not have to be taking over billion-dollar companies or creating them to implode on money. There are plenty of nouveau rich people. There are plenty of people who stay and ruin money. I can go to Cajun King's wife. She stays with him out of commitment, and he keeps me in nice cars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said that. Oh, another topic. I went out on a birthday dinner because a client, we had rescheduled back and forth because it was like, okay, I don't feel like, because we had to reschedule and meet on my birthday. So they were like, oh, okay, cool. So yeah, so treat. I know that sounds like pretty warm, but it was like, okay, I've got everything packed, your order, everything. Like, you know, hey, now today's your birthday. Thanks for penciling me in, because I had a busy day on my birthday again with networking for my soaps and my writing group and everything else. So I was like, dinner. Cool. I tried fish tacos for the first time, and that fish taco story was very interesting, because then I had a random phone call on Friday involving fish tacos. It was not by this person. But the money thing made me think, because I was worried about how they were spending, and it was their idea. It was like, why am I worried about how somebody else's money? And I'm not trying to be like that cavalier gold digger girl who like orders the most expensive thing on the menu. Oh, again, the fish tacos. But I was like, this place is like super expensive. And I'm not trying to sound ungrateful, because I did appreciate it. And it was fun trying fish tacos for the first time. They were actually pretty good. And hummus. But don't, you know, be present and enjoy. Not a double entendre, because the present is a gift, and they gave me a lovely card. And so did my writing group. I have the card. I have a weakness for cards. Not just gift cards, but actually handwritten cards, like thank you cards and Valentine's Day cards I got like 20-something years ago, which was actually my best Valentine's Day. Yeah, my best Valentine's Day was before my first kiss. But anyway, so, you know, being present and not worrying. Just be there. Enjoy what is, again, present as a gift, and being secure financially lets you enjoy the present, because you're not worried about trying to make more to fill some kind of weird spiritual void. Again, not trying to be super religious, but if you're like working to the point where you can make like $5,000 for power versus to help people, or you're on some kind of scorched earth thing, that's spiritually empty. You know, believe, but there's something wrong. That's not the one. And the, oh yeah, I've got some time. The fish taco store. So I won a gift again. I've been really lucky at winning stuff, I guess. It's like brightening my day. So I had missed meeting the person about the gift I won, trying to get ready to walk my co-host. She had a nice long walk earlier. And I was like, thought it was them, because the number looked familiar, and I've just been having bad luck with remembering. I really shouldn't be better with saving numbers. So I was like, okay, I'm on my way, and it's like, oh my God, you're late. We're supposed to have fish tacos in an hour. And it's like, you just had fish tacos on my birthday. What? And it was like, no, do you know Kevin? And I was like, what? Now, one of my friends, and then looking back, I was like, wait, one of my friends is married to one? But anyway, I've never met him in person. I've like been like, oh, hey, Kevin, you know, when he's on the phone. But it was like, I don't even know if I know a Kevin. Oh, wrong number. And then this girl was like, do you like girls? I was like, you called my number by accident and then hit on me? And I just got the 90-second mark. And I was like, that was so crazy. So, yes, that is my fish taco story. And maybe that wasn't on double entry. I don't know. I just know I was like, I've had a long, it was a good week. I will say, I had a really great week. I met some wonderful people. I got great gifts. I even had somebody give me like a lunch ticket because I was late going to a networking event as a birthday gift. And I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, the birthday cards and the wishes. And yeah, even my surrogate mom made a joke that was like, that is the perfect birthday gift. I love you. So yeah, that's it. Money is not bad. It is necessary. It is a part of life. Just don't be a jerk about it and allow it to do some good in the world. Help yourself, help others, and just enjoy it. So, yeah. And this is Rambles. I am happy that I do have the next episode posted. It will be in 2 weeks. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And maybe something will happen, but it's something good. I'm not sure if I will keep that topic or not, but for now, that is the topic. This is Rambles. I'm Anita, and I hope you guys enjoy your Sundays. Okay, bye.